Hallelujah. We're going somewhere. Are you hot? You better be on fire. Praise God. Are you ready to count the cost? You know, everybody knows there's a price to pay, amen? Nothing comes free. Even salvation doesn't come free. There's a price to pay, isn't there? Amen? It's amazing that people, you know, the word says it's a gift from God, right? It's a free. But somebody had to pay a price for it. There's a price to everything. Nothing is free. Does everybody understand that? Nothing is free. Nothing. We must fight for everything. Nothing is free. There is a price for everything. Everything, there's a price. That's why the Bible says, work out your salvation. Why? You must cooperate with God. It says work means cooperate. So there's a price, isn't there? Working things out, there's a price. There's a price of obedience, isn't there? Jesus said, deny yourself. If you're one that wants to follow me, you want to be a disciple of mine, you're going to have to first deny yourself. That's a price, isn't it? Then you pick up the cross and follow him. Why? Because you cannot follow him with self. So the first thing he says is get rid of you. Get rid of you. I've come to bring you new life. Get rid of you. Put it behind you. And then you can follow me. See, you can't have self lead you. Self must be crucified. One of the things that God is not interested in is in self. He doesn't even communicate with self. He communicates with his children, the child of God in you, not with self. So where there's self-agenda, are you listening? That's not God. Anything that's associated with self, God does not communicate with. Because that is the offspring of darkness, and that's what you and I were born as, blinded. That's why he said, I've made a way for you so that I can be your Savior and your Lord and give you my spirit. Give you a new spirit and give you mine. Hallelujah. Why? So now he's got someone to communicate with him. Turn to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 16, Galatians 5:16. Thank you, Master. Is everybody there? Verse 16, let's read it together. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Stop. Okay, see you next Tuesday. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the flesh, the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Now, I want to share something with you very important, because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Those are three chambers of the tabernacle. The way is the outer court. The truth is the holy place. And the life is the most holy place. The outer court is not walking in the Spirit. Come on, are you with me? The outer court is not walking in the Spirit. The holy place is where you begin to walk in the Spirit, because in the holy place is where the baptism of the Holy Spirit is manifested so you can fulfill your priesthood. As you fulfill your priesthood, the most holy place is open to you. Has everybody got it? So, the outer court is not walking in the Spirit. The outer court is called salvation. That's the place of salvation. That's where Jesus said, I am the way. In other words, that's where the cross was fulfilled. In fact, that is where the first feast of Passover is fulfilled. It's called the outer court. The holy place is where the second feast is fulfilled, called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, where Jesus descended into hell, because leaven meaning evil, where he destroyed, took the keys away from Satan. And those keys were the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And that's where truth is, and the truth is that your fight is against evil, and that's where he allows the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then there is life, and that's resurrection life. That's where Jesus rose from the dead. Are you listening? He rose from the dead. That is the third dimension, because God is raising up third dimensional warriors. Paul said, I was taken to the third heaven. There's a place where God wants us to walk. The tabernacle is everything. Everything evolves around the tabernacle of God. Everything. Remember when the tabernacle was set, when the Lord told Moses to establish the tabernacle. What was around the tabernacle? All the tribes. And the glory of God stayed right with them every day. And when the glory of God lifted, they all packed up because they knew they were going somewhere else. Why? Because they were being led by the Spirit. They were being led by the Spirit. And even though that they were being led by the Spirit, many began to grumble and complain. Even though they were being led by the Spirit, they grumbled and complained, and it actually caused rebellion towards God. You know why? Because they began to manifest and desire their own agenda. And as they began to manifest and desire their own agenda, out of millions of the Hebrews that were in the wilderness and going to the promised land, only two made it of the original. Only two out of millions. Think about that. Only two. Because they were not willing to deny themselves. In verse 16 again, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the what? The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you what? Wish. Wish. So you don't do the things that you what? Wish. So you don't do the things that your flesh desires, so you don't do those things. Why? Because your flesh wants to do self-agenda. It's got an agenda of its own. And the only way that you will conquer that is to walk in the Spirit. And it cannot be conquered in the outer court. It is struggled in the outer court. Are you listening? That's why that sacrifice is constantly going in the outer court. Why? Because that's where that fight in the flesh. Why? Because there's no power. The only thing that's rescuing you is the blood. The only thing that's there is constantly the sacrifice in the outer court until you get to the holy place. When you get to the holy place, there's power to overcome the outer court. That's why the devil doesn't want people to know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and power. Look, Satan's greatest establishment, his greatest achievement was religion. He got people to believe in rituals, to follow rituals. He got people, in other words, he severed the arena of relationship. He established religion. Jesus did not come to bring religion. He came to bring a kingdom. We are a part of an eternal kingdom. It's got nothing to do with religion. We believe a king and follow a king. The governor is the Holy Ghost. We are being trained in operation. Because all of this is going to go away. Even the whole universe is going to go away. Everything's going to go, and we're going to keep growing. This is going to go, and we're going to go. See, but our peanut brain has a hard time comprehending this because we fall into the arena of what we're being impressed all around us. The whole arena of trying to maintain life here. The whole arena of survival. When we're supposed to walk in surrender. We get so busy surviving, we forget what it's like to surrender. Why? Because survival has to do with self-agenda. Self-agenda. Did you ever notice that when you finally give up, something happens? That's it, I quit. Something happens. Praise God, I need to quit more often. See, the only reason why people struggle is because they're fighting for their life. We struggle because we're fighting for our life. Oh man, I just don't let well, we become foolish flesh creatures. The only reason why we struggle is because we're fighting for our life, and the life we're fighting for is that self agenda.
Well, this is what I believe. This is how I feel about it.
Well, God ain't interested in what you believe or how you feel. Because if you're really walking in the Spirit, you're walking in truth. Not your agenda. You are now walking in His agenda. Jesus was the prime example. He says, I don't come in my own doctrine, but Him who sent me. See, when Jesus truly is Lord over your life, you don't have a life. Everybody okay? See, He cannot be Lord over your life in the outer court. It's impossible. He can only be Lord over your life in the holy place. The outer court is still salvation.
Save me, save me, save me.
And He does. He says, get to the next chamber, will you? So I don't have to keep rescuing your butt.
Oh, but Lord, save me. You're saved. Get in there. Receive my second gift. Receive my second gift. And stay out of that outer court. Why? Because you are a priest. You got no right in the outer court. Your place is the holy place. Where you minister to Him, and then the veil opens up. He invites you in, and it's no longer you anymore. And there's an exchange of your old character for His. Your thoughts for His. There's an exchange that happens there. There was an exchange that happened here tonight as we were worshiping and praising God. Everybody sensed the presence of God. There was a peace. There was a joy. There was like, hallelujah. Whew, what took me so long to get here? And here are the thoughts. But the thoughts before you got here, because you just came out of the world. You just came out of your job. You came out of all the stuff out there, which has been sucking you out like crazy into the outer court. So you came in here tonight repenting. Lord, forgive me for all the things I thought today. You know, those little lies and those little exaggerations and a little of this and a little of that and a little of those and a little of these and a here, there, and a little there. Lord, forgive me and wash me with the blood. And as you begin to minister to Him, all of a sudden, you're in the second place. Yes! Oh, this is where I belong, in your presence. There's no fear in your presence. This is where I'm supposed to be. Oh, now it feels like home. But if you're still fighting here, if you're still fighting here in self-agenda, if you're still trying to disprove what God's got, what God's trying to say, you'll be in the outer court no matter what you try to do until you let it go. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 18. It says what? But if you are led by the Spirit, you are what? Not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are what? They're evident. In other words, hello. These are definitely evident. What more do you need? Which are what? Adultery. I think everybody knows what adultery is. How about fornication? Okay. How about uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and anything like that? These are just examples. Believe me, you'd have to fill up the whole Bible to give you the rest. And anything like this, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who what? Practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, what are they going to inherit? Hell. You mean if I'm a believer and I'm doing these things, I'm going to hell?
Yes. That's what the Word says. If you are practicing these things, are you listening? If we are practicing these things right here and not stop, we end up inheriting another kingdom. Now let's go a little further. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. How about self-control? I said self-control. In other words, you got control over self. You've got control over the self-agenda. Self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its what? Passions. Those passions are called self-agendas and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. So, you can't walk in the Spirit if you ain't living in the Spirit, right? Let us not become what? Conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Again, walking in the Spirit manifests fruits of the Spirit. Walking in the flesh manifests fruits of the flesh. You will either inherit the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan. In the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, of course, means that you're walking in the anointing. And the anointing is the eternal presence, power, and what? Truth. The eternal presence, power, and truth. So if you're walking in the eternal presence of God Almighty, you're walking in the eternal power, right? That means you've got dominion over something, the powers of darkness. And you're walking in the truth, then you should not be walking in the flesh. You should not have any fruits of the flesh if you are truly walking in the Spirit. Does everybody see this? If you truly are walking in the Spirit, you will not have any fruits of the flesh in your life. So you may love Jesus. Are you listening? Because a lot of people say they love Jesus. A lot of people say they want to do the will of God. But they're still manifesting the fruits of the flesh. Why? Because they're really not following. See, if you're walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the eternal presence, the eternal truth, and the eternal power. So everybody got this. If you're walking in the flesh, you're walking in darkness, you're walking in fear, and you're walking in deception. You're walking blinded. You're walking in darkness, you're walking in fear, and you're walking in deception. Why? Because you can't see. And the fear is that you're afraid of losing something, losing somebody, losing this, losing that, whatever it is, there's fear of loss. And the deception is self-agenda. So the darkness is you can't see all the way through. The fear is a fear of losing something or someone. And the deception is self-agenda. Again, in the Spirit, you will. If you're truly walking in the Spirit, you are going to crucify the passions and desires of self-agenda. And you will perform and cooperate with the will of God. This is why the Bible says, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Go to Romans 8. In verse 1. Hallelujah. In verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Who? Who? In other words, there is no judgment, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, this means these are, he's speaking, look, listen. He's writing a letter to the believers. These are letters to believers. He says, listen, there's no judgment, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Who? Do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the what? So he's saying, even though that you say you're in Christ, if you're walking according to the flesh, there is condemnation. I'm telling you, this foolishness has got to stop because there's too much outer court in the body of Christ and there's too much carnality and self-agenda. And I'm telling you that the move of God right now is exposing. There is a move of the wave of God. There is a wind that is happening right now. And it is wiping away. It's blowing the dust. It's removing the caps. It's exposing all kinds of garbage. And it is a warning for every believer. It's a warning right now. We are in warning stages. Because you're going to start seeing people go home. You'll start hearing about people and seeing people go home. Because God is raising up his Gideon's army. It is happening. There's a lot of things behind closed doors that is happening. So there's no condemnation to those who are walking in the Spirit, but there is to those who are walking in the flesh, even though you proclaim to be a believer. For the law of the Spirit, verse 2, of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in it, that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Where? In the flesh. That the what? Righteous what? So there is a requirement, isn't there? So that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. So this righteous requirement, the requirement is that the law will be fulfilled in you. You will not be under the law of sin and death if you are walking in the Spirit. So that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the what? Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh, that self-agenda, set their minds on the things of the flesh. Self-agenda. But those who live according to the Spirit, his agenda. The things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Another again, the righteous requirement of the law to escape condemnation, to be fulfilled in us, is to walk in the Spirit. No self-agenda, but kingdom-bound and kingdom business. Kingdom-bound and kingdom business. That means, are you ready? Divine will, divine order, divine position. Divine will. In other words, if you are truly walking in this place, you will be walking in the divine will of God, the divine order of God, and you will have divine position to bring divine riches to fulfill your divine calling. Now, I am speaking of riches of God. I am not just speaking the things of cash and stuff like that. Are you listening? I am speaking of things that are brought forth, that have been hidden with God, that are revealed to those who are walking upright with him. Riches. Riches. I'll never forget. My wife and I were being interviewed by CBN one time. And they were asking us about things. And I said, listen, all the money and all the things that I had did not compare to the riches I have right now. And that is to know him and who he is and how much he loves me and the things that he brings revelation of, these divine riches. They are rich. You can't purchase these things. There's a price that you must pay of self, that you must deny yourself. There's a price that you must pay, yes. Listen, you can't just go, you just don't find riches somewhere. You usually have to go dig for a treasure, don't you? Because there's a price to pay, counting the cost. But in this, when you're looking for a treasure, it's painstaking, isn't it? It's time consuming. And it's what God says. If you're willing to let go of your self-agenda and allow the divine agenda in your life, the divine will, by walking in the Spirit, so that His divine will, His divine order, and divinely position you to bring you divine riches for your divine calling. That's what it's about. See, He's trying to provide for you in your calling. Your calling is not outer court. That's not the calling of God. The calling of God is holy place and most holy place. That's the calling of God, not outer court. The outer court is called temporary. That's why contemporary music is in the outer court.
Yeah, I listen to the Lord all day long.
Well, there's a difference between getting in His presence and hearing the message of salvation all day long. Are you listening? Let's go to Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3. In verse 8, Paul writes to the church of Ephesus. He says, "To me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." The unsearchable riches. In other words, Paul was saying, listen, man, I got the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I'm going to go out and preach them. I'm going to go out and teach them. Where do you think these letters are? These are the unsearchable riches of Christ. When Paul talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he talks about the gifts of the Spirit, he talks about the ministry of the Spirit. All of these things were unsearchable riches that were brought to him because they were unsearchable. Has everybody got it? And he says, man, I'm out there preaching these unsearchable riches of Christ in verse 9. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, the hidden riches, which from the beginning of the ages had been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. Unsearchable riches of Christ hidden in God to those walking in the Spirit. They are available for you. And again, walking in the Spirit is the eternal presence, power, and truth. The divine will, divine order, divine position, which will bring divine riches or the hidden riches in fulfilling your divine call. These are called hidden riches of God. Hidden riches of God. And you know what? It's for every believer's responsibility to search these out. Everyone. It's our responsibility. Go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. So in a battle, would you rather have somebody next to you that knows how to battle? In a war, you'd rather have somebody who knows how to battle, right? As a matter of fact, I'd rather have somebody that knows how to battle and is carrying a bazooka than somebody carrying a hand pistol and can shoot me. It's the same thing in the body of Christ. Remember something, the body of Christ is not the ministry of the soul, it's the ministry of the Spirit. We are in the new covenant of the ministry of the Spirit, not the ministry of the soul. Is everybody okay? Proverbs 22. Are you there yet? In verse 1. Proverbs 22 and verse 1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is maker of them all. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. By what? By what? Humility and fear of the Lord. By what? Humility, that's humbleness in the fear of the Lord, are riches and honor in life. Now, he's talking about the hidden riches of God. It's going to take humbleness. In other words, humbleness is associated with denying yourself. It's denying yourself, not your agenda, his. See, so many people are living, they are living for their job. They are living for their families. They are living for everything else but him. That's self-agenda. But I'm a believer. I go to church. I pay tithe sometimes. Believe me, an outer court believer will not pay and will not contribute the way they're supposed to. They can't. They do it by, because they're soulish ministry. They do it when they feel like. They'll never give out of their lack. They'll only give out of their abundance. When I have it. When I have it. Yeah. Yeah. They cannot give out of their lack because they can't trust God. You can't trust God in the outer court. Why? Because he's got to always be your savior. He's always got to rescue you from things. And then, see, that's why it's so important about getting mentored. That's why it's so important about being discipled. But see, the outer court believers jump. They're jumpers. They jump church, 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 church. They can't be settled in one place and be in the area of fulfillment and be a part of the fellowship. Yeah, well, I speak in tongues and cast out devils. Yeah, but you can still speak in tongues, cast out devils, and be an outer court believer. Because you're still associated with your self-agenda. Is everybody okay? By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Number humbleness and the fear of the Lord. That means this humbleness is the area where we are submissive. We are submissive. And, of course, we know the fear of the Lord is respect, honor, and reverence. Opens the avenue to the place of hidden riches of the spiritual and the physical. Go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you can't go somewhere and get a message. Amen? When God sends you, because the Lord used to do that with me every once in a while. But I was still plugged into a fellowship where I was serving. And by serving in that fellowship, I was submissive to that fellowship. And whatever God had me to do there. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 15. Is everybody there? Therefore I also, read it with me, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the what? Riches of his, of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Where? In the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his what? Power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. In other words, the riches of his glory are hidden. They are hidden riches of his way, of his will, and cause. Let me share with you right now. And they cause a shift of power. And I'm sharing with you right now that there's a shifting of power going on. And it's not happening with everyone. But the body of Christ is arising and there's a shifting of power. And let me give you the example. Pharaoh, When the Jews were under slavery, he was empowered over them, wasn't he? He had power over Israel. Moses was given hidden riches. Moses was given hidden riches, which caused a shift of power. That's what released the Israelites. Why? Because of the hidden riches. It caused a shift of power. And I'm telling you, that's why God is going to the places right now where there is a shift of power going on to the, and it's being released to the, his body in places for those who are seeking, willing to do, walk in the Spirit, these hidden riches. It's not about an emotional thing. It's not about a goosebump thing. It's not about a soulish thing. It's about an arena where you are pressing in, where you are denying yourself, where you're willing to count the cost and walk in the Spirit, where you're willing to be truly submissive to what God has said. Not your agenda. Your agenda will reject you from getting the hidden riches. You cannot touch those things with your agenda. Moses was given hidden riches, which caused a shift of power and defeated Pharaoh and his army, bringing God's people to the promised land to those who submitted and respected and honored and reverenced God Almighty. 1 Timothy 6. We're seeing a shift of power right now going on. I'm telling you right now, because of the body of Christ, that those who are really seeking God and those who are really willing to walk in the Spirit and count the cost, that there's being hidden riches revealed. And these hidden riches revealed. It doesn't matter what denomination. It doesn't matter anything. God is looking for individuals that he can release these hidden riches to so that there can be a shift of power. And we're seeing it all over our government right now. Why? Because the body of Christ is rising up. A shift of power is manifesting. You might call it a holy shift. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Holy shift, Batman. Pow! You remember the old Batman flicks? They had to say pow, and the thing wrote out pow. Because they really didn't have any power, they just had pow. Or wow. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we're not religious? 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches. I want you again to understand that uncertain riches are self-agenda. But in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy, let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Oh, I love it. I love it. It's warning of the evil, the deception of evil willing to flaw the righteous belief system. Remember, the enemy's out there trying to flaw your belief system. See, if he can put, it's like a virus. Did you ever get a virus on a computer? Man, it messes it up. Thing causes everything to move in slow motion. You got to wait forever. You know, let me tell you, a virus computer can get you in the flesh. So you don't want to deal with a virus computer because you want to stay in the Spirit, right? Praise God. That's how flying computers came about. Hallelujah. And verse 20, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge or self-agenda. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Go to Proverbs 3. Ooh, yeah. Proverbs 3. Hidden riches. verse 13, revelation and wisdom. Proverbs 3:13, would you read it with me? Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. These are called hidden riches. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down to dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lay down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be pleasant or sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror nor trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from what? Being caught. He will keep your foot from what? Being caught. Whoa. Hidden riches of eternal wisdom and revelation. This is for me and you. Has everybody got it? What you're getting right now is a hidden riches. It's hidden riches of what God is bringing forth. In other words, we always want to know. The Spirit is always trying to bring us to that place in preparation. What is God doing? What is God doing? That's why the Word says, okay, that's enough of the salvation. That's enough of this. Come on, let's go on and perfect things now. Perfect what? Get into perfection of divine will, divine order. So that the hidden divine riches can be brought to me and you so that we can know what God is doing right now. Is there, so many times people chase the gifts of the Spirit instead of the Spirit. What did he just say? He said, man, there isn't anything greater than the hidden riches of God. Nothing greater. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 and verse 12. Would you read it with me, please? Proverbs 23, verse 12. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the words of knowledge. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Did you hear that, Liz? Praise God. You shall beat him with a rod. And deliver his soul from hell. My son. If your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself. Yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. And as a spiritual father, I rejoice when I see our spiritual children speak the right things and do the right things. It is a joy to my wife and myself. It grieves us when we see them stray and do stupid stuff. and not be sent and run instead of run. You know? They run and they fall into traps. It grieves us. But as a spiritual father, it rejoices me to see our spiritual children do the right things. That's what keeps us going. To watch the hand of God change people into his image and likeness and to watch them keep it. It is rejoicing to us. Very, very rejoicing. Let's go a little further. Verse 22 in Proverbs 23. Listen to your father who begot you. And do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. And he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and mother be glad. And let her who bore you rejoice. In Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45 and verse 1. Thus says the Lord to his anointed. Come on, read this with me. To Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him, and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors, so that the gates or the veils will not be shut. I will go before you, says the Lord, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. He is speaking to you as his anointed ones. Are you listening? This is you. This is you. Those. The holy, holy place people. Not the outer quarters. Those who walk in the holy place. This is you, the anointed. Because you're not anointed in the outer court. Are you listening? You're anointed in the holy place. The problem is too many people who got anointed in the holy place have gone back to the outer court because they're still doing self-agenda. Self-agenda will not get hidden riches. And only promotes more self. Is everybody okay? Ooh, treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. Many become weak, not walking in the Spirit, and missing the shift of power to overcome the desires of self-agenda. Is everybody okay? One of the things I want you to understand that there is an area. In fact, well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the what? Hidden what? Wisdom, or the hidden riches, which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Whose glory? Ours. Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for if they had known, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his what? What's he talking about? The hidden riches. The hidden riches. He's revealed to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The hidden riches of wisdom coming to the body. The body is raising up in a new strength. Are you listening? A new strength. There's a new power. There's a new strength and power against the kingdoms of the darkness of this world. And there's a fresh new cause of freedom. There's a fresh new cause of freedom happening right now. There's a new purpose. There's a fulfilling of a purpose. There's a new filling of the Spirit of the purpose in productivity and even in prosperity because of the shift of power that's happening. And we want to be in it and not miss it. Why? Because in the rule of the realm in the world system, it's called the Babylonian system. It is the Babylonian system. Go to Revelation 17. Revelation 17. This is important because this is where we are at right now. There's the Babylonian system. It's called Babylon. And there is the rule of Pharaoh also that's established, which is going to come to an end. And there's going to be a shift in power. That's why we're seeing all the things uprising right now. In verse 1, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. And the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. We see it right now. There's many who are caught up in the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, self-agenda, who've been drinking. They've been drinking of the wine of the evil one, of the harlot of Babylon. Why? Because everything is self-agenda. They live for themselves. They proclaim what comes out of their mouth, and what they live is two different things. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on the scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple. In other words, she was proclaiming herself as royalty, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. This is what the people are drinking now. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the what? Saints. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. This is what's happening right now. The purpose that they're drinking is because it's bringing delusion. Delusion promoting self-agenda. And many saints are falling. The Bible tells us in the latter days, many will fall from the faith, taking heed to deceiving and seducing seductive spirits and doctrines of demons at self-agenda. Why? Because they're drinking from the harlot. And it's causing the blood of many saints. Has everybody got it?
Ooh.
World system of Babylon. Self-agenda of greed and lust, false peace and satisfaction because of the drunkenness of delusion. Is everybody okay? I'm going to close at Romans 8. The Bible says that many are called and few chosen. There is the called, there's the chosen, and there is the faithful. It starts in this country with you. In Romans chapter 8, is everybody there in verse 14? Hallelujah. Hidden riches. Whoo, yeah. Shift of power. Verse 14. Would you read it with me? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? Sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit of Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willing, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And that is me and you. Me and you. We don't want to miss what's happening. We want to stay in that place and get the heck out of the outer court. Oh, you'll miss. Get in that divine position. Get in divine order. Get in the divine will. So the hidden divine riches can be released to you to fulfill your divine calling. This is not soulish ministry. It is the ministry of the Spirit. It is time to awaken, to fight, and to go deep. Because there's a power shift going on right now. And one thing we don't want to do is miss it. Amen? Praise God. Father, we give You all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We commit to You, Father, our life, this life, Lord, that You bought us. We're Yours. Show us, visit us, heal us, and establish us for Your glory, and bring revival to this country. Open the eyes of the blind. Bring unity in the body of Christ. Melt the walls of denominations, and loose those who've been taken captive to their own self-agenda, that they may walk in Yours and not their own. Have mercy upon us, and let Your grace abound. And to You be all the glory, my King, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.